Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Boy, oh boy, it was a busy week to start off Q4 as we saw some bigger moves in the markets to kick off this week. A little bit of settle down as we came to the end of the week, but again, a noteworthy start to Q4. I'm very excited to announce to kick off this show, we are chatting with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer over at Bleakley Financial Group, also editor of the Book Report website, which we will link to in the weekend show posting. Now, Peter, Chad and I are going to be seeing you at the New Orleans Investment Conference next week, starting on Wednesday. Before we get into more individual market comments, I have to ask you, your presentation is entitled Everything is Clear as Mud, referring to the markets and the broad economic outlook. Take us through what you're going to be talking about and why you think everything is just so muddy in terms of forward projections.
Well, I think, to me, it's on one hand, it's somewhat clear about the situation we're in right now, in the sense of we know we have elevated inflation that central banks are aggressively responding to, and global growth is slowing down. But how it plays out from here, I think, is really, really tricky. And even, you know, take the U.S. economy, for example. Even within the U.S. economy, it's unusual in that you have a labor market that's still hanging in there. I emphasize hanging in there because there are definite signs of softening, but hanging in there relative to where other parts of the economy are beginning to crack, particularly housing and possibly other parts. But how this all plays out, how it plays out with Putin, how it plays out with, say, the European energy situation, how much further the Fed pushes this, even though they've told us what they want to do, but whether they actually do it, we'll have to see where profit margins go from here, whether we get a mild recession or a deep one. I mean, I'm never shy of having an opinion, and every single one of my New Orleans presentations have been pretty definitive with my opinions. I remember in November 2020, giving my presentation in New Orleans, saying that inflation is here. And then, where inflation is coming. And then my 2021 was inflation is here. And I was pretty confident about that. This time around, it's a lot trickier. And while I think that the macro situation is going to remain very tough, trying to actually sort of draw a potential blueprint from here is really difficult.
Yeah, you said it, Peter, because it's really a bifurcated market. I mean, it's strange to have high inflation but also have a strong dollar. It's strong to have what seems like a recession on many metrics, whether it's the PMI numbers being below 50, the two quarters of negative GDP, weakness in the housing market, but to your point, strong labor market. So it's really hard to get a handle on which direction things are going to go. It seems like a prime driver in a lot of the markets right now, though, is the yields. And the big story is that for the last 40 years, bonds were seen as a safe haven. People would go there during market tantrums or during uncertainty. But bonds have been selling off pretty hard and rates have been ratcheting higher. What's your outlook on the bonds and interest rate markets, all things considered?
Well, I think it's important right now to separate out different parts of the yield curve. I think that the short end of the U.S. yield curve, you know, it seems that the Fed, we'll talk about the U.S. curve right now, is intent on getting the Fed funds rate to 4.5. And that's what they've thrown out there. And it seems that that is what what the Fed funds futures market has essentially priced in. So with a two-year yield at, call it 4.20, it seems that we probably priced in all of the Fed rate hikes. The longer end is, I think, much more difficult to figure out because the influences on the longer end is not just what you think inflation and growth is going to play out from here, and it's as simple as that. You know, there are major cross currents of this global bond bubble we've been in that is now unwinding, and how that plays out is difficult to say. I mean, how does the ECB manage tightening policy there, and what happens to the European bond market if they ever get to QT? How much longer is the Bank of Japan going to be able to keep yield curve control in place? And what if they decide, you know what, we need to widen the band? You can potentially have an earthquake through the world's bond markets. How does the U.S. Treasury market manage QT here at the same time that foreigners have been, over the last couple of years, shrinking their ownership of U.S. Treasuries relative to the total, and banks are buying less Treasuries, and who's going to be that marginal buyer? So I think the longer end is much more difficult to say. Now, if it was just an inflation and growth story, I'd say, yeah, buy the 10-year. You know, inflation is peaking out, growth is slowing, buy the 10-year. But it's just much more complicated than that. And that's why I'm much more comfortable owning short-term Treasuries than I am longer-term ones. And that's the same for, well, it's mostly for the U.S., but in some other bond markets as well outside the U.S.
So, Peter, when we relate what interest rates have done to what the Fed and other central banks are mostly doing, that is going through some quantitative tightening. Look, I think we all agree that we are reaching somewhere near the end of the rate hiking cycle, but we hear so many comments about a Fed pivot and how they're going to have to pivot next year and if they're even going to start cutting rates early on next year or later on next year. I think there's a big difference between raising rates as aggressively as they had and then staying at, let's say, that 4-4.5% level, or if they do start cutting again, which it does seem like the market always wants lower rates and rate cuts. How do you see this playing out? What is the process going to be in your eyes?
Well, it seems that they're pretty intent on raising. I think they'll raise another 100 basis points through the end of the year, and I think that'll be it. I think that they're going to be the pressure points, the pain points will start to get extreme enough that it will get the Fed to stop or at least pause. And usually if when they pause, that'll be it. I'm not as clear, though, on how they'll manage the balance sheet within that, because there are issues growing behind the scenes with the balance sheet and the sharp decline in bank reserves. So I don't think the Fed's going to be able to get away with nearly as much QT as they hope to. But I think, yeah, November, December will be the last rate hikes, I believe. And then the question, though, is, okay, they're just going to hike, take it to the 4%-ish level, and then just stop. And if the economy starts to really break down, do they start to cut? Or are they so obsessed and convinced that inflation is still high and that they can't take their foot off sort of that economic brake, that will prevent them from cutting? But the days of them tightening us into recession and rates going right back to zero again and QE is on, I think that's over. I think that's going to be the differentiating factor of this rate hiking into cutting cycle compared to others, and that we can't just rely on the Fed. Now, I know the market's all excited, you know, maybe the Fed will stop hiking, but that's quite different from them shifting to a sharp rate cutting cycle, which, again, we've been so accustomed to.
Yeah, I think you're right, Peter. It really is just a different environment. Everybody got used to the Fed stepping in to save the markets, and now it very much seems like they are not going to do that. But again, we don't know. I don't even think the Fed knows what they are actually going to do. However, they do seem to be wanting to sit on the sidelines and see how these rate hikes play out when they are eventually done with them. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Peter Buchbar.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer, Alver at Bleakley Financial Group. Now, Peter, we were talking a lot about central bank actions and how that ties in with some of the data, especially inflation data. Quick question when it comes to this generally higher inflation data. How much do you think this higher inflation also is due to China still being kind of in and out of lockdown, their zero COVID policy, as well as that ongoing war in Ukraine that has definitely increased inflation for the European citizens?
Well, it definitely has made analyzing the economy a lot more difficult. I am hopeful, though, that after the Party Congress and into the first quarter next year, that China is going to further open up. And I think that we're sort of getting the early whiff of that with what's going on with Hong Kong, with them ending the hotel quarantine, even though they still have further to go with respect to allowing people to immediately land and go eat out for dinner. And they are opening up Macau more through travel tours. So to me, that's sort of the test tube for a broader reopening, which we're going to get, which would be a definite positive for the global economy, but it would also probably exaggerate again inflation trends, because you can imagine where the price of oil may go if China fully opens up. With respect to Russia, I mean, it's no central bank is going to be able to gain that. You know, they're just going to respond to what's going on today. There's no legitimate forecast that they can possibly give on what that means for energy prices, call it 3, 6, 12 months from now.
Peter, what's your take on the energy market with OPEC deciding that they're going to do some production cuts? Some of those countries actually need a higher price of oil in the 90s, even pushing 100 for their break-evens. And the energy picture has been tight, but we've seen a nice rollover in the oil price. It was at 125. It dipped down to the high 70s. Now it's back in the mid-80s. What's your outlook on oil and nat gas?
So I acknowledge the demand side slowing because of the recession. There's no doubt that that's going to be a drag, but I am pretty confident that the supply side is going to remain very challenged, and the lack of investment for years has now caught up with us, and that even with oil at almost $90 is still not bringing out a lot of drilling, and that rig counts are still well below where they were, and there's a lot of discipline coming out of OPEC, as you mentioned, and that oil prices are going to remain elevated for a period of time. And when China opens up, as I mentioned, the oil prices are probably going to jump right back to $100 plus. And the risk is, to me, is still to the upside with the price of oil and natural gas.
So one market that has been a standout this year that has really shown where money has flown into that more safe haven trade has been the U.S. dollar for a number of different reasons, but the U.S. dollar recently broke above 110 and then came back, tested that level again. And this week, at the tail end of this week, is bouncing strongly off that 110 level. Peter, again, it seems like the only thing that's gone up this year has been the dollar, and most everything else has faded in the face of that. How long do you think the dollar can remain strong, and what do you think are the main factors pushing the dollar higher?
I think the factor, and really only factor in my eyes, is the aggressive Fed relative to other central banks. I don't think it's more than that. Look at two aggressive central banks in Mexico and Brazil. Those currencies have acted amazingly well against the U.S. dollar. So if they're trading well against the dollar, I can tie that directly to their monetary policy. At least in Brazil, they were raising rates in 2021. So to me, that's a great example, this being really just an interest rate differential story with the dollar relative to others. And it doesn't take much to rally against the euro when they have 9% inflation and a deposit rate at 75 basis points. And you look at even in the UK, where they're tiptoeing their way to rate hikes, and while inflation's running north of 10%. It doesn't take much to think that the dollar's going to rally against the yen when the Bank of Japan is maintaining its yield curve control. And what's going on against the yuan, because they can't get off their COVID policy. So, you know, I hear a lot of theories on the dollar and shortages of dollars and this and that, but to me, this is just a plain vanilla interest rate differential. Fed is more aggressive than most other central bank dollar rally. And then once the Fed shows their hands and that they're done and they can no longer take the pain anymore of what they're inflicting, then this dollar rally is going to flame right out.
Well, Peter, just on this topic of safe havens and everybody flooding into the dollar as a safe haven, at least here in the States and even some foreign investors, We mentioned that bonds really haven't acted like a safe haven in people's portfolios for the last 2 years, ever since they've rolled over. But gold was also seen as another safe haven. And it was also supposed to be an inflation hedge, at least that's what we heard for the last decade. And in the face of high inflation, it really didn't perform like many expected. Is gold still a safe haven? Is it still a monetary metal, or is its role in people's portfolios starting to change?
Well, it's been amazing how not a inflation hedge it's been over the last couple of years. Now, you could argue that the physical market is telling a different story than the paper market, but, you know, we live the paper market every day, so that's what we'll talk about. But I think the underperformance in gold and silver the past couple of years is definitely in response to that aggressive Fed that we just talked about. That said, gold is down about 7% this year. So compared to the stock market and the bond market, gold has outperformed. If you want to look at gold over the past 22 years, relative to the stock market, gold's outperformed. Now, of course, you can pick and choose any time frame, but gold's really been trading off the dollar and real rates, but real rates, not real rates. When I say real rates, I'm talking about real rates in the tips market rather than the actual front month real rate, where the Fed funds rate's at 3 and the inflation's at 8. And then you have negative real rates on front month CPI, the deepest since the 1970s. But you're trading, you know, the paper gold market versus the paper tips market, and that's what you get, a challenging environment for gold and silver. But they've begun to trade better of late. I think the Bank of England intervention kicked off a nice rally. Silver has been trading well the past couple weeks, particularly against gold. And I just wonder whether it's the market beginning to sniff out that we're closer to the end of this rate hiking cycle by the Fed.
What else do you think benefits then if we are closer, or the market at least thinks we're closer to the end of this rate hiking cycle? What sectors in your eyes could potentially truly stand out?
Most things international markets, particularly in Asia, I think, will be a big beneficiary of the Fed almost being done. Emerging market bonds are going to do well when the Fed's done. A lot of non-dollar assets will do well when the Fed's done. Now, it's stating the obvious, but I think it's something that people should be looking at because there are tremendous values in the things that I mentioned.
All right, Peter. Great chatting with you. Thank you again for sharing your thoughts on these markets and giving us a little preview of what you're going to be talking about at that upcoming New Orleans Investment Conference. Peter, again, thank you for your time. I look forward to seeing you in New Orleans next week.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The death rate from breast cancer has dropped by 43% in the past decade. According to an American Cancer Survey report, black women are still more likely to die from the disease, even with a lower incidence of it. A senior author of the report saying death rates are declining in black women, just in as almost all other groups, but the gap still remains. As a crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border continues, tragedy strikes in Texas.
Texas authorities say 84 illegal immigrants have been found in the back of a semi-truck near the southern border. Hidalgo County Sheriff Eddie Guerrero says some of the illegals were seen Thursday climbing off the truck in front of a residence in the border town of Weslaco. That's about a 2.5-hour drive south of Corpus Christi. All suspects have been taken into custody. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Peter Buchbar. I think he lays out the case perfectly for just how muddy the future is for markets, for economies, even for central bank policy. As much as we try to cover what the Fed is going to do and where the markets are going to go, quite frankly, we always do need to remember that the guests that we have on that seem so sure about a certain direction in moves, they're usually carrying some sort of bias into that because I don't even think the Fed knows what they are going to do. They have told us, and they seem to be still very much sticking with the data, hoping that inflation comes down. That being said, I hope you all can join us in New Orleans. Please get in touch with Shad and I if you're going to be at that conference. Moving on to the last two segments of the weekend show, we're featuring a replay of our monthly conversation with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc, covering mostly metals, but all kinds of other sectors as well. Here we go with Doc. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. This daily editorial will also be featured on our weekend show as we are chatting with Richard Postma, aka Doc. Now Doc, we'll jump around to a lot of the main sectors that we always talk about, starting with gold. Gold's on a lot of people's minds, as it always is on our website, but gold had a very interesting end to the quarter, Q3, where it broke just below that 1675 level and pretty much tested out that 50-month moving average and then has rebounded. It's been about a week-long rebound now, it's moved up about $100. And even today on Wednesday, we saw some weakness to start the day, which I think was somewhat expected from investors just because of the run that the markets and metals have been on. But that weakness is getting bought back today. Gold was down over $25. Now it's down only about $5, up at that $1,725 level. Doc, what are you seeing in the charts here? How significant could this recent rebound be for gold?
Okay, let me just make a couple of comments first, Corey. Remember when we had that grind down in gold that I talked about months ago that we would have, and then we had kind of a double bottom, and there were those that thought that was a bottom in gold. Well, it wasn't. We took that out last month on an intra-month basis. And also, when I last talked to you about a month ago, I mentioned that we had had 6 months of lower closing lows. And I mentioned back then we were due for a month where we're going to close higher. And that looks like this month. And I think this month is going to hold. I would be surprised if we close lower than where we closed in September. So that's a positive. The other interesting thing is that we had an intra-month low below the 50-month exponential and simple moving averages. And then we closed above the simple moving average on the monthly chart as far as the 50-month. And we bounced off that this month so far, and we're moving higher. And that's encouraging. However, we're not out of the woods. We're not starting a new bull market here yet in gold. And so people should be cautious, but it's a good time to add. Actually, it was last month, and I bought on dips that month. And I've been buying fairly regularly every week into stocks that I feel are completely decimated.
Well, Doc, I know you look at things from more of a longer-term value investor standpoint, and so you're often looking at the monthly charts, and you're looking to catch the major trends. There's different investors or even traders that have different time horizons. Some people are zeroed in on day trading using the hourly charts. Some people are using the daily and weeklies. But from a larger-term perspective, it still has a pattern now, unfortunately for gold, of making even a lower low and lower highs. Is there any other technical data that you're going to be looking at from, let's say, the monthly charts or even the weekly charts where you want to see a major milestone achieved to give you an all clear that the trend is going to have some legs to it next time?
Chad, I do not want to see a close below the 50-month moving averages. That's what I don't want to see. If we get a close like that, we're definitely going to be in this bear market longer than people will like. And I think that's a distinct possibility right now. I think there's a very good chance that we might still close below the 50-month moving averages. And I think the odds are with that. However, the good news is something I've been mentioning for months, is that the monthly strength indicators are still quite good, so that we're seeing a gradual move down in gold. We're not seeing a plunge like we saw back in 2012 and 13. In fact, when you look at the number of months we're out from the highs compared to back in 2012 and 13, we're in much better shape. And I don't see the percentage retraction that we saw back then. So that's the good news. And that tells you that this gold market is still in good shape. And when we get the next move higher, we're going to have a really nice move higher, I believe.
So, Doug, you mentioned that you're looking at some of the stocks that have been decimated here. I think a lot of people can make the argument that almost every stock in the precious metals sector has been decimated, but that also can carry over to a lot of other sectors. What does this decimated relate to? How do you define that when you're looking at a stock?
Well, you know, the juniors have been decimated, a lot of the junior companies, and they're at levels we haven't seen in years, and I'm buying some of those. I'm getting them pennies on the dollars, some of these things. And like Shad said, I'm not a short-term investor. I like to catch the next big trend and get 200, 300, 400% profits on what I do, and I'm not interested in day trading, so I'm very patient. and I've been buying consistently some of these stocks that have really got decimated. Now, some of the mid-tiers have further the fall, and I talked about Sentinel stocks in the past. Some of those large-cap stocks still have a ways to fall, in my opinion, some of them. And so those are the ones to watch, and when they get to lower levels, then I can be comfortable in really starting to put my capital into them primarily and not into the juniors any longer. And that's what I'm waiting for.
Well, Doc, do you take anything away from the recent move lower that we saw in gold, where it went down, hit 1622, and has rebounded up, back up over that 1675 support level at the same time that silver had quite a run over the last week? Really, it didn't pull back as much as gold in the very near term when gold was still pulling down. It kind of held its own. And then it's really rallied back sharply. And some of the stocks really took off over the last week. Does that give you any hope for maybe an intermediate term bouncer? Or are you just thinking this is going to be held in October as this green candle for the monthly chart and then reverse back down again?
We could move higher here for a little while, Shad. But as I mentioned, I don't think this is the start of another bull market. And, you know, the thing about when you look at particularly that silver chart, for those that love the cup and handle, we're in good shape. Now, I mentioned a long time ago that I would love to see silver drop further and really form a beautiful handle, a lower pricing for the handle. And it's probably in the process of doing that. It looks really nice based on a cup and handle. I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, we can all hope for Nirvana, but so far, those that love the cup and handle, they're in good shape right now. And if it continues, we could actually start moving silver up sometime in 2023, probably in the second half of the year, where it's the start of a long-term bull run. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's still possible. But it's not, in my view, going to happen in the first half of the year.
So again, Doc, kind of that cloudy or muddy outlook, something similar to what Peter Buchbar was saying in the first two segments. Doc, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment. And remember, everyone listening on the radio, this is a replay from a Wednesday conversation that we posted with Doc.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Everyone, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. Still chatting with Richard Postma. So, Doc, this recent rebound in everything, but still focused on precious metals and the underlying stocks. To me, it's been a little bit different in the sense that feels like silver has very much outperformed to the upside, and some of the higher quality stocks, in my eyes, have done better. Now, again, it's about a 5-6 day rally, let's call it, but the better stocks, or at least the ones that I consider better, some days they have moved up 10+%, while I've noticed some of the weaker stocks out there really haven't moved. And I think this is different from the recent rebounds throughout this year, these dead cat bounces, where it felt like almost all of the stocks moved up in tandem. Have you noticed a different characteristic about this recent rebound when it comes to the stocks?
A little bit, but a lot of them are still on channels, you know, especially on the weekly charts. And the volume isn't there yet. That's what bothers me. And so looking at that and the fact they're in channels, they could move back up and challenge their channels again, the upper part, and then we could see a fallback, you know, the rest of the year, which I wouldn't surprise me at all. But even you look at Newmont broke out a little bit, but it wasn't a strong breakout. And I wouldn't be surprised yet to see Newmont move down to $30-$35 a share. So I would be cautious here. If you're a trader, it's a great time. But for me, I just watch it. You know, I bought a couple of weeks ago a number of positions because I liked what I was seeing. You know, we had gotten hit for 6 months in a row on gold. And so it was time to buy some, and I did that. But I'm not going to chase this rally.
Well, Doc, you mentioned that you're finding the best value in the juniors because they've already given up so much of their market caps and values, and a lot of them are down 60-80%. So they're pretty beat up. But you mentioned you could still see more downside in some of the larger cap and the mid-tiers. When you do start getting more fully allocated for the larger bull run, will you have an even mix between the explorers, developers, and producers, or will you be more weighted to producers or royalty companies? How will you allocate your portfolio when you feel like most of the sector has bottomed?
I'll primarily look at the producers and the royalty companies because I've taken a nice position in some of the explorers that I think aren't going to go into bankruptcy, which a lot of people are talking about. But I'll primarily focus on the producers and the royalty companies and some of the mid-tiers when I really feel this is bottom, because when we come out of this, they're going to be the first ones that outperform. And then I can, if I have, you know, some gunpowder left, I can add to my junior companies as well, because it'll take a little while for them to get the mojo that the producers and royalty companies will get when they come out of the gates.
Now, Doc, one other metal that I keep hearing a fair bit about how people are more bullish on it moving into next year and the next few years is copper. Even though copper got very extended away from a lot of the monthly moving averages that I follow, like the 50, even the 200-month moving average, copper was a couple dollars almost above those moving averages through 2021, even into early 2022, and then went through almost a waterfall decline in the month of June, has very much stabilized between, let's say, 3.25 up to 3.75. Are you bullish copper into next year?
No, copper right now is struggling to hold the 200-week moving average. It is struggling. And if it breaks through that, we're going to be headed back to 250 copper. And here's the problem. We have a worldwide recession coming up, and there's going to be less building of about everything and everything that needs copper. And I think that's what the chart is signaling to us, that we're in for multiple weeks and months of weakness across the globe. And I think the copper chart is starting to tell us that. And I would be very careful right now in taking positions in companies that are heavy in copper. And even on the monthly chart, copper is starting to approach some very important moving averages on the monthly chart. And if it takes those out, particularly the 200-month moving average, which is not far away from, then we're going to see copper continue to move down lower in 2023 if it breaks that.
Well, Doc, how much do you think that the commodity sector has suffered really the last 6 months because of the strong U.S. dollar? I mean, for a while, commodities and the dollar were moving up in tandem as the inflationary theme was so big. But recently, we've seen the dollar keep trucking higher and higher and higher month after month. It got up to 114 just a few weeks ago. And that's been a real headwind to the commodity sector. Now, it has admittedly rolled over the last week or two, but how much do you think that the dollar is playing a role in keeping a damper on the commodity sector?
Well, I think that's a significant factor, Shad. And I think the dollar, actually, we're moving toward a peak on the dollar. I said a while back, I thought, you know, that might happen the end of the year. And I think we're starting that process even this month. Now we can move higher next month and challenge the previous high for a nice double top, or maybe in the month after that. But I think the dollar actually is going to peak the end of this year. Now that doesn't mean it's going to just turn down and everybody's going to be happy. But if you look back to 2012 and 13, I think it's going to be very similar, where it just hangs up there for a while, and we might develop some wide trading ranges on the monthly chart. So I think that is probably how this thing is going to end before we start to see a depreciation in the dollar on the charts. Because you have to remember that every other nation sucks right now. I mean, the European markets are going to get crushed with their problems with the lack of gas and oil and the price of those commodities. And they're going to have a deindustrialization, especially Germany. In fact, the United States, since they love Germany so much, they're going to steal some of their industries, you know, and they're going to do that in other European industries. So, yeah, I don't see, from that standpoint, the dollar getting hurt right away.
Fair enough, Doc. The dollar really has been that safe haven asset where a lot of investors have gone into the dollar. Just a quick comment on this dollar chart. While the dollar has shown weakness over the last six trading days, it really came down to test that 110 level and has, at least for today, bounced fairly strong off that level. Is that a key level you're watching in the chart to just assess if a further breakdown would even be possible, even though you're not expecting it right now?
Yeah, it is kind of, Corey. I think we had a bounce back today, but I still think we could trend a little bit lower and break that level for the month of October. That one surprised me. But that's not going to change my thesis at all because I'm looking at a daily chart. But when you get out to the monthly chart does not look dangerous for the dollar at all right now. Whereas you could buy into the argument from the daily chart that it's in trouble. But you always have to look at the longer trend charts because they're going to tell you the major trend of it. And that's not giving out any worrisome signs right now for the dollar on the monthly chart.
Well, Doc, it seems like the whole markets, whether it's the cryptoverse, the general U.S. equities, the commodity space, seems to be trading in tandem with not just how the dollar moves, but also how the moves in yields, especially the 10-year move. And it seems like on most days, if the dollar and the 10-year is up, then the rest of the markets are down, and then the reverse is true. If the dollar is down and the 10-year is down, then the markets are up, the commodities are up, the cryptos are up. What's your outlook on yields? Could they diverge from the dollar? Could we see something different happening in the bond market? What's your outlook there?
Well, I think the bond market, we're getting pretty close to a bottoming for a while. We are getting very close on the bond market to the 200-month moving average. We have a little bit more to go. But I think that the bond market could then hold. We could get a little bit of a rally for a number of weeks, and I think that's a possibility. And I don't think we're going to just break through the 200-month moving average like a knife through butter. I think that area is going to hold for a while, and it looks like the bond market that we could be bottoming here in the next few weeks and months. And I think that it could hold for a while before we see it even going higher. Speaking about that, you know, the Fed has received some good news when the stock market has rallied like this, and the ADP report on employment has shown that employment's in good shape yet. So the Fed, from that standpoint, doesn't have to worry about raising rates some more.
Doc, thank you as always for your time. Great chatting with you. I do love our monthly recap. And everybody listening on the radio and to this weekend's edition, thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back with you next week, but again, we will be traveling to New Orleans, so a little bit light on the commentary front on the back end of the week. Everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-9222. 833-VITAL-90. That's 833-VITAL-90.